None like him, amen. None that can do what he did. None that can pay the price like he paid for us. Thank you, praise and worship team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord this morning. It's nothing greater than the presence of the Lord, amen. Nothing greater than when the Holy Spirit comes in and wipes out everything that's happened this week and everything that's happened this morning. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles this morning, two short verses. First, Exodus 12 and 7. Exodus 12 and verse 7. And then Galatians chapter 2 and 21. So Exodus 12 and 7. Galatians 2 and 21. And while you're turning there, I want to thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to thank you for being here. You know, it takes you, the member, to make a church. Amen? It takes you and the member being here. So it's important to us that you come and that you be with us. And I just appreciate you coming and giving your time this morning. The word of the Lord says in Exodus 12 and 7, "And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house wherein they shall eat." And in Galatians 2 and 21, it says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And the title of my message this morning is The Battlefield of Faith. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus, the mighty, the most powerful name on this planet and in this universe, Lord Jesus. And we ask this morning that you would be with us all, Lord, that you would touch us all, that you would send the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would send the preacher and the teacher, and that you would send the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear what the word of the Lord has to say, Lord Jesus. We ask for your anointing this morning, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand and help us to grasp, and Lord, lead us further into relationship with you. And we do this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The battlefield of faith, again, is the title of this message this morning. And, you know, we talk so much about the message of the cross or the word of the cross or you know, whatever name you'd like to put on it. Basically, it's the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to just let you know this morning that the message of the cross, this is the message that God is now saying to the church. I believe in this moment, in this time, the message of the cross, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of Christ and Him crucified, however you want to say it, whatever vernacular you want to use, is what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church at this time. But, you know, it's really what this gospel has always been saying to the church, what it's always been saying to the believers, what it's always been saying to humanity. Because when we look back, as we've spoken before, this whole word points us to Jesus Christ. Looking forward and looking back at Him and looking to the future that we have in Him. You see, the early church began with the message of the cross. You could try to dispute that and say, well, no, it didn't. Well, it began with this. Well, it was Peter. But see, it all circled around Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the start of the early church. He was the one who fed the apostles. He is the one who trained the apostles. And there will never, ever be apostles like that again because they walked with Jesus. They supped with Jesus. They traveled with, they knew Him, right? You can know someone by watching them on TV or listening to them, but until you sit down and have relationship with that person, you're not going to truly know them. But these apostles, they had true relationship with Jesus Christ. So they understood Him. But there's never going to be apostles like this before. And as the apostles, sadly, as they begin to die off, and as those that they had joined with the apostles began to die off, sadly, the church began to apostatize this message. They began to apostatize what they had been taught. They began to go away from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They began to revolt against the message of the cross, the message of Christ and Him crucified. They began to rebel against that which the church was actually built upon, Jesus Christ. You see, the church had shifted to a works-based mentality. They had based their church on legalism, on law, and on profit. And we see that up to this very day. Churches basing their religion, basing their denominations, basing their church message on these specific things. The church in that day and age, like it is in this day and age, had become grossly corrupt. And we look around and we see all the different things happening in churches and happening throughout the religious world. And we can say, yeah, I can see some corrupt things there. But in this day and age, Things stayed like that until the 95 thesis of Martin Luther, when he went to the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and he posted, he nailed that thesis to the church. And this began a revolution, and I don't have time to go into it this morning, the history there, but it'd be good for you, the listener, to go back and read about that and read about what happened and understand exactly what happened. Again, I don't have time to talk about that all that this morning, but this was a turning point for the church when Martin Luther went and nailed this thesis to the church in Wittenberg, Germany. You see, his message basically contained several things that we've talked about, saying that the church had went into works and legalism and profit. But basically his message was, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith, pointing us to our faith and where it's planted at. And my goal this morning is to understand where our faith is at and why it's there and why Satan is out to attack not you, the individual, in your spiritual body. Yes, he does you that. He will do that and use that to go against certain things. Not you, the believer, not you, the individual, in things of this world by taking things or coming against things. But he's really out to attack your faith. That's what he's out to take. So Martin Luther, in his letter, in his theses, he said that the just shall live by faith. And this pulled back the curtain that the church had built and showed us that our justification is through our faith, this faith and grace process. Later we see in the 1700s and 1800s that the great sanctification message was brought out by the church. It began to be preached from Wales, England is where it started. And we see that England was one of the first countries that started to send out true missionaries of God with a true gospel message and a true sanctification message. And then at the beginning of the 20th century, we see the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, poured out under the church again. And again, I don't have time to go into that story, and I'm not trying to base my message off of that. But these are very important things that happened in our church history. Amen? But now, we see everything being brought back. Now, in this time, in our time, God bringing us back full circle, back to what the church was started on. All these other things being important, this whole Word of God being important, but we see God, the Word of the Lord, bringing us back to where our faith is at, the message of the cross, the message of Christ and Him crucified, and how important it is in this time. You see, this morning I've come to tell you that you cannot overlook, that you can't set aside, that you can't simply ignore the message of Jesus Christ. Because the message of Jesus Christ is the message throughout the whole church. And more importantly, it's the message of the church today. It's the message that God had always intended for the church. You see, if you throw it away, if you simply throw it aside, if you say, I'm not going to go that way, if you go against it, if you just ignore it, say, well, okay, but I'm going to go over here and do this thing. Or you simply don't give it any credence at all. If the preacher, if the church, if the believer ignores it, the end result is spiritual wreckage. Do you hear me this morning? If you ignore the Word of God, if you ignore the message of the cross, the end result in your life is spiritual wreckage. The end result in a ministry is spiritual wreckage. Spiritual wreckage is what you're going to sow from that. It's what you're going to reap out of just simply ignoring this message. The reason for this is because we're living in the last of the last days. We're actually living in the end of the church days. If we go through and we look at biblical prophecy, we can go up and we can count all the things that have happened up until a certain point. And if we look at that, we might say, well, maybe that was this and maybe that wasn't that. But we can look and see, church, we're very close. You see, we can split hairs about some things, but there's some things in the Word of God that are done. And we see them happening. So we're living in the last of the last days. According to the Word of God, the things in prophecy are right ahead of us. We're literally in the time when we could hear the trump sound, when we actually might not make it to the grave, where the trump will sound and the church will be raised up and Jesus Christ will come again. We are that close to the last days. We are at the end of the church days. So what do we think happens now? What do we think? I think that now, that this time that we live in is of much more greater significance than all the times past, all the previous things past that we've talked about this morning, all the history of the church, because we don't have much time left. If we're in the last of the last days and we believe this word and we believe what it says and we see all the prophecies that have come to pass now, and we see that we're almost there and we're in the last of the last days, that means time is short, church. We don't have a lot of time, so it becomes more and more important that the message of Jesus Christ, that the gospel of Jesus Christ be spread out to your loved ones, to your friends, to the unbeliever, and to the church. Well, you say, Pastor Chris, the church knows this. No, my point this morning is the church has stepped away from this. The church has went other ways. They've ignored. They've revolted. They've turned it into apostasy. And they've went away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if the message is ignored, if the message is not preached, if the message is not taught in the walls of this church, if it's simply ignored, if we say... We don't care about it. If we don't say anything about it, if we simply don't care, if we simply ignore the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, the end result is not going to be favorable. It's not going to be promising. It's not going to be encouraging. It's not going to be something that we want to reminisce about. It's not going to be, in simple terms, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to result in twisted and wrecked lives. It's going to result in ministries that fail at a spiritual level. Did you hear me this morning? The ministries that fail at a spiritual level, the very level they're supposed to be succeeding at the spiritual level, they're going to fail. And because of this failure, they're going to also fail in the natural. They're going to fail at a physical level. They're going to fall away from their original calling that God placed them on this earth to do. They're going to begin to operate and for all the incorrect reasons. They're going to fail spiritually. The church today is apostatizing this message and the Word of God at a horrific degree. At a horrific degree. A high rate of speed. Very rapidly. And they're doing it without delay. You see, every day we see more craziness coming out of the religious sector. It doesn't matter what denomination it is. It doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal or a Baptist or a Presbyterian. It doesn't matter if you're in a denomination or not in a denomination. It doesn't matter if you're Church of God or Assemblies of God. It doesn't matter what it is. We see all this coming out of all the different types of churches because they've lost their way. They forgot what the right way is. They've apostatized it, and they've been doing it for so long that that's all they know. That's all they know to do. The only answer for the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only answer for the church is what Jesus did on that cross, for his all-atoning sacrifice, his finished work on that cross. This was the same answer that was originally given to mankind. It's the same answer that God is providing today to the church, to you, the believer, to all of humanity. It's the same answer. There is no other answer. It's the only answer for the terrible sin problem. It's the only answer. Which, by the way, if we look at that in our nation, it's the reason that we're going through what we're going through right now. You see, this nation was built. This nation was founded on the Word of God. Amen. You see, some people try to go back and say, well, no, that's not what it was. And yes, people came here for freedom of religion, and that's good. We need to have a place that we're in a free country that we can live. Freedom isn't cheap. Freedom has a cost. Our forefathers paid that cost. But you see, this nation was built on Jesus Christ. This nation was built by godly men with the gospel in their hand, seeing what was right and building a country on it. And we've stepped away from that. And slowly but surely, we've gotten away from what they've told us. And in this day and age, in this time, all we have to do is turn on the news and we can see politicians on TV trying to change our Constitution, trying to change the laws of man, trying to change what this very country was founded on, trying to change what our men and women and our armed forces have fought for years and years and years. What our men and women in our armed forces are away right now fighting for, we've got politicians at home that are taking us away from what this country was built on, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look at our country and we see economic failure. We see society crumbling. And I'm here to tell you, it's not an economic problem. It's not a social problem. It's a spiritual problem. And the spiritual problem starts in the church, and the church has forgotten about it. And that's why America's in the state that it's in. Amen? The answer is Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, all we find is destruction, and all we find is disaster. You see, the Holy Spirit is bringing it back, this message of Jesus Christ, this gospel of Jesus Christ. It's bringing it back to the church. It's bringing it back to the world. He's bringing it back to the believer for a reason. The world, the church, and the believer, you see, if you choose to ignore it, if you choose to just simply go against it, then you're ultimately going to find that your time has run out. Time is up. We're at the last of the last days. We are at the end times. Prophecy is going to fulfill itself. I believe everything that this word says. And I don't know the time, I don't know the day, but I can tell you that we're almost there. And I'm ready for that trump to sound, amen. I'm ready for Jesus to step back on this earth and take control and rule and reign, amen. It's about to happen, church. We've got to be prepared. It's the last of the last days. Time is running out. The destruction has come upon many, 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 many people, millions of people, millions, hundreds of, I don't even want to put a number on it, of ministries have fallen by the wayside because they've fallen away from what this word says, from what the true gospel says. And all they found is ruin and loss. And at this point in time, it's going to be hard to get that back. It's going to be irreversible. That's why time is so short. As we talked about last week, Christ knew no time. God knew no time until he stepped on this earth, until he stepped into a mortal coil and he began to live in time. We don't have time, church. We've got to preach the right thing. We've got to get the right message out. We've got to make sure what we're preaching and teaching is the correct, unashamed word of God. You see, the church today, they're in the same condition as the children of Israel when they were under the Egyptian rule of Pharaoh, when they were mere slaves working, doing whatever Pharaoh wanted them to do, when they were slaves to an Egyptian monarch, when they were slaves of a demon-possessed fanatic. Today, even those who truly love God, those who want to live for God, those who are trying to live for God, they're going through all the proper motions. They're going and doing what their church tells them. They're doing what TV preachers tell them. They're doing what the books of man tell them. They're trying to do all the proper motions, thinking this will help them. Who in their heart and in their soul want to love God. These people are hungry for nothing less than self. They're hungry for self-righteousness. They're hungry for self-adoration. They want to please self above all else because they don't know what's right. They haven't been taught from the pulpit, to the pews of the church, from the lecterns and classrooms of who Jesus Christ is and what he's did, what the price was paid, the great price that was paid for them. They have not been taught that the work was finished. They have not been taught what to put their faith in. You see, I'm talking to believers today. I'm not talking to sinners. If we talk to a sinner, they'll know they're a sinner. If you show them what they've done wrong, they'll admit to it. Yeah, I've done that wrong. But believers, you see, we put our faith in everything but what we need to put it in. And we find that we adore self. We find that we want to please self. And we find ourselves in slavery. Believers, we find ourselves in slavery to evil passion and to sin. We find ourselves there because we've willfully chosen to ignore what this Word of God says. Willingly, we've willingly chosen to ignore God's prescribed order of victory. The only hope, not a maybe hope, not a well, okay, not a okay, well, maybe if, not a maybe hope, the only hope for the world, for the church, for the believer, for the sinner, is Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. The gospel of Jesus. This is the only hope for mankind. This is the only hope that we have. Listen to this pitiful preacher this morning. Jesus Christ is your only hope. He is the only means of your salvation. He is the only means of your sanctification. He is the only means you have to find true peace in this life. And he is the only means to everlasting life in heaven. Because the only thing other than heaven is hell, or trust me, there will be life. You can reject hell. Your friends can reject hell. You can look out and say, well, I don't believe that. But I'm telling you, if you don't bow a knee to Jesus Christ, if you don't call him your Savior, you will find out that there is a real hell. That's it. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only answer. Now, not many in this room would say that, but there might be some listening over the internet or listening by CD. You might say, well, I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. What you're saying, that's not me. I don't love self. I don't know what you're saying. You might say, I'm not sure that what you're saying is so critical right now, Brother Chris. There's lots of people doing it. There's a church on every street corner. Anybody can go and find the gospel. Believer, church, it's worse than you could possibly imagine. The very fact that you would that question would be raised shows us the spiritual state that we're in. You see, our one thing to do as Christians is to spread this gospel, to tell about Jesus Christ and who he is. Again, it's good to go out and do things in the community. It's good to go out and have rallies in your community. It's good to go out and witness, and there's people that do that. But our main function is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our main function as the church. And the church has stopped doing it because they went to law. They went to legalism. They went to selling out the gospel and bringing in money for their self and building buildings and doing things for their self. And don't get me wrong. There's nothing with having a great, big, beautiful church building. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. As long as the message that's coming from that pulpit, that's coming from that ministry, is correct. Amen? You see, if you refuse, if you reject this lifeboat, this life book, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the gospel, the message of whatever you want to call it, whatever vernacular that you want to put to it, if you reject it, it's nothing less than disaster and wreckage, both personally and spiritually, and for ministries. Total and complete destruction. Are you telling me that if I reject Jesus Christ that I'll die lost and go to hell? Yes. Unequivocally, that's what I'm telling you this morning. If you reject Jesus Christ, you will find out that hell is real. You will find out that there is a God, there is a heaven, and that there is a hell. You might say, well, are you telling me if I reject what you're saying today, I'm a Christian. If I reject what you're saying today, will I not go to heaven if I reject it? I'm here to tell you, listening by CD, listening by the internet, here in the audience this morning, luckily, no, it's not my call. It's God's call. He has much grace and much mercy, but it's God's call. You see, he's designed the plan for humanity, but there's only one plan. There's not several plans. There's only one door to him. There's only one way to him, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. It's through the sacrifice that was performed on the cross. I would plead this morning with you to follow his plan, not your own. To take your plan and set it aside and look to him. To take your self-pleasure, your self-adoration, and set it aside and say, God, I want what you want. God, work on me. Touch me. Change me on the inside out. And take this out of me and point me directly to you and guide my path to what you want me to have. You see, I've come to tell you, if you follow his plan, destruction, corruption, sin, and shame of this world is going to be lifted from you. If you follow his plan, the way he designed it for humanity, all these things that we see in this world, they're not going to find you because he's got a plan for your life. Now, I'm not saying that everything is going to be rose petals for you. There's going to be some hard times. But he's going to be with you. He's going to help you. The Holy Spirit is going to give you power. He's going to enforce grace in your life and mercy in your life and help you through things. But if you choose to ignore, if you choose to go a different way, if you choose not to take his path, destruction is the outcome. The cross is the only solution. It's the only life left on this earth that's going to give anything to you. You see, the devil wants nothing more than to take from you. That's all he wants. He might try to give you everything on this world, but all he really wants to do is take from you. It's the only life left on this earth, Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can pull back the sin in your life, that can pull you back from the flesh that's happening in your life, from the humanity that we live in. It's the only thing that can reach down and pull you out of that miry clay that we set ourselves in. It's the only thing that can pull you out of the void of flesh, of the abyss of sin. It's the only thing that can overcome the powers of darkness, that can stop demon possession, demon oppression in your life. It's the only thing, it's the only power that you have against evil forces. And believe me, those evil forces want to destroy you. They want to steal your faith. They want to take your faith. That's their job. That's what they're out to do, is to move your faith away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, from this message of Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ is the only power against flesh. And trust me this morning, flesh will always lead you the wrong way. Always lead you the wrong way. Do not pay attention to your flesh. Pay attention to the Spirit of God. Be in communion with Him. Seek Him on a daily basis. Every day, trying to understand what He's got for your life. Your flesh will lead you the wrong way. Jesus Christ is the only thing that can overcome self. It's the only thing that can overcome flesh. You might say, well, that's not me. I don't have a problem with self. I don't know what you're talking about, Brother Chris. I'm going to plead with you this morning. Think again. Think again sitting in this sanctuary this morning. Think again listening over the internet, listening by CD. Think again. Look at your life. Think about what your priorities actually are. Where is your time spent? What do you do with your time? Look in the mirror of self and take an account of who you are. Take an account of what God is doing in your life. Take an account of how much time is spent building relationship with Him versus how much time is building relationship with self. Take an account. Look in the mirror. You see, we should be able to look back on our Christian life and see ourselves growing. See ourselves becoming more like Christ. See ourselves building more relationship with Him. But if we look back and we see that it's all about something other than Him, then believer, we've got a problem. If I look back and see that I'm building relationship with myself, if I'm building relationship with this world, I've got a problem. If you look in the mirror and see that you're not growing in Jesus Christ, you've got a problem. If you're paying more attention to who you are than who He is, we need to check ourselves and we need to take ourselves back to the foot of the cross. Amen? I'm preaching better than that this morning. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. We've got to take ourselves back to the foot of the cross. We've got to have all of Him and none of us. Our flesh has got to go by the wayside. Our self-righteousness, who we are, the pride of man, has got to be set aside. And we've got to say, God, I want more of You. I want You to reach down inside of me and take it out of me and do the work that only You can do. You see, the effects of the sin nature, it affects all of us, every single one of us. Doesn't matter if you're sitting in the pew. Doesn't matter if you're singing on the praise and worship team. Doesn't matter if it's me preaching or teaching to you. It affects all of us. That fall of man, those vines of the fall, affect every single one of us. And daily, we've got to go to the cross. Daily, we've got to be covered by His blood on a daily basis. Because if we don't, this flesh, this pride of man is going to rise back up. It's going to come out of us. It's inevitable. That's the world that we live in. That's the flesh that we are, that it will come back up if we don't kill this physical man every day and let the spiritual man take over for us. That's why it's so important that we cling to nothing less than Jesus Christ. Nothing less but the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing less than the character of God. Nothing less than the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why it's so important that we continually hear this message. That we continually hear this message Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, daily devotions, that we hear the message in every doctrine that's given from this pulpit, in every teaching that's given from this church, in every study time that you have as a believer, in every praise and worship song that we see, no matter what it might be dealing with, that we hear Christ and Him crucified. It doesn't matter if it's dealing with a domestic situation. They're in here, you know. How to handle everything. It doesn't matter if it's with a financial situation. It doesn't matter if it's with a family situation. It doesn't matter if it's it's all in here. But all those things point back to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need it on a daily basis. We continually need it. That we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Romans 8 and 2 and Galatians 5 and 16. It's important, church, that we walk after the Spirit. And don't listen to your flesh. Your flesh will lead you astray. It will lead you astray. Back to the children of Israel. The children of Israel, when they were delivered, we saw all kinds of plagues happen. We saw all kinds of miracles happen. And not one of those things in itself delivered them. Did you get that? God Himself showed plagues. And God Himself showed miracles. But not one of those things delivered the children of Israel. Moses, as great as he was, a picture, a type, a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, but still a man, in himself, did not deliver the children of Israel. It was the slain Lamb of God that delivered the children of Israel. It's the slain Lamb of God that's going to deliver you this morning. It's the slain Lamb of God that's going to bring the church back to Him this morning. It's the slain Lamb of God that's going to go out and touch the sinner and draw him into Jesus Christ and change his life. It's the slain Lamb of God that delivered the children of Israel. In Exodus 12 and 7 it said, And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. You see, you might say, well, I don't understand, Brother Chris. How did the slain lamb, how did that help them? How did Jesus Christ, he wasn't even born yet. He hadn't even been sacrificed yet. He hadn't been crucified yet. There was no sacrifice that had happened. How could the slain lamb, how could Jesus Christ be the only thing that freed the children of Israel? You see, it was the blood. You see, the blood on the doorpost represented what Jesus Christ was coming to do. It was a sign. It was a shadow. It was a type of the blood that was shed on Calvary. In Exodus chapter 12, it's a picture, it's a type of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The whole chapter, a picture, a type of what Jesus Christ did on. And I don't have time to go into all of it this morning, but the important part that we need to get here is at the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, the blood represented the shed blood of Christ. It was put on the side posts, on the upper posts of the house. Later, it would be applied to the mercy seat. On the great day of atonement, that blood would be applied to the mercy seat. Nowadays, it's applied to our heart by faith. John 3:16, Ephesians 2:13 through 18. That blood that was shed on Calvary, that blood that was put on the doorpost, that blood that was put on the seat of atonement is applied to you and I's very heart this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all. Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ can change you and can make you into what God wants you to be. The cross addressed the spiritual world in total. It was the plan of God from the very beginning, and the cross addressed it in total. This was a picture of the power of the cross, a type of Jesus Christ that was and that is to come. Again, the cross addressed the spiritual world and all of its darkness. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see, the cross alone addressed all these things. And I wish that I had time this morning to go into the scripture and tell you what each one of these things is and what the principality are and what the powers are. And maybe we'll be able to get to that one Sunday or one Wednesday night. But what we need to know this morning is that Jesus Christ addressed them all. All the things in that verse, the cross alone addressed them. This is what delivered the children of Israel. It rolled back the demonic power of darkness that controlled Pharaoh, that had a hedge around and over Egypt. It rolled it back. It cut right through it. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it will do the same for you. It will do the same in your life. It will help you in your personal life. It will help you in your marriage. It will help you in your family. It will help you in your finances. It will help you domestically. Jesus Christ provided it all. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there is still power in the blood. Amen. There is still power in the blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed on that cross for you and me. There's still power in that blood. Only the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified has the power to overcome not only spiritual warfare, but everything in the life of the believer. There's no other message. There's no other religion. There's no other type of plan in this world that has the message of this gospel. There's nothing else in this world that has the power of this gospel. You see, Satan, he's so bold, especially now. He's always been bold, but I believe in these last days that we're in, Satan has become so bold that if you, the believer, are not continually rooted, that you're not securely planted, that if you're not anchored in Jesus Christ, that Satan will have the strength to overcome you. If you're not in His Word daily, if you're continually not taking your spiritual life and the things in your life to Him daily, to the foot of His cross, that Satan will have the power to overcome you. It says in John 10:10, "For the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You see, Satan's going to come and he's going to try to do those things. But Jesus Christ has given me life. He's given me life in Him. And I don't know about you, but I'm really more interested in the more abundantly part. And I'm not talking about things on this earth. I'm not talking about new houses and new cars and new things. Though all those things are great and nice and they're wonderful. And as I told you before, my name's Chris and I like stuff, amen? But I'm interested in Jesus Christ and the abundance that He has of grace and mercy and faith for me. And that one day when I get to heaven, I'll get to see His face. I'll get to praise Him face to face. I'll get to take my crown and throw it at His feet because of what He's done for me and what He's done for you. Don't make the mistake that in your own power, that in your own flesh, that in any other power source other than Jesus Christ, that you'll be able to withstand, that you'll be able to defeat Satan. Don't make that. Don't make that assumption this morning. Don't leave here and think that. Only in Jesus Christ. You see, in Galatians 2 and 21, it talks about us frustrating the grace of God. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, frustrate in Greek, in the original text that was written, and it means to refuse to recognize the validity of something. Frustrate. To refuse to recognize the validity of something. To reject. To regard as invalid. To frustrate the grace of God means to make it ineffective. It can no longer help. It has stopped working in the heart and life of the believer when you frustrate the grace of God. The reason for this frustration is that we go another way. We simply go another way other than Jesus Christ. If we don't go His way, if we don't follow His plan, if we don't come through the doorway, the cross, then we start to frustrate the grace of God. If we go another way, if we turn the law, to, if we turn to the way of the law. See, law there in Greek, it specifically points out that it's the law of Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament. That's what it's specifically talking about there in Greek. And by going the way of the law means that we have chosen flesh or self in order to please God. We've chosen flesh or we've chosen self in order to please God. Neither one of those things will please God. Neither one of those things are going to please God. You cannot please God in yourself. You cannot please God in your flesh. You cannot please God in the works that you can commit. You cannot please God this way. When we live our life in this manner, then we are in effect saying that Christ is dead in vain. His death on the cross was a waste. He didn't need to do it. If I can please Him in my flesh, if I can please Him by the law, then we didn't need God. So we're saying that Christ's death was in vain. We're saying that we don't need God in order to achieve His righteousness. We don't need God to achieve His righteousness. You see, it's easy to fool other people, isn't it? It's easy when other people think a certain way about you because they don't know you. It's easy when you see someone that you don't really know and you say, well, that's a good person. They really look righteous to me. But you see, that's man's righteousness. That's man's good works. I'm talking about His, God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. I'm talking about His righteousness. You see, we can only please His righteousness through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can please Him. We're also saying that we're leaving the grace and mercy of God for the grace and the mercy of this world. We're leaving the grace of God, the mercy of God, for the grace and the mercy of this world. Think about that for a second. We are at the mercy of satanic forces when we do that. When our grace and our mercy is in the things of this world, we're leaving it up to satanic forces, to powers of darkness, to principalities. And I don't know about you, but that's something I'm really not interested in this morning. You see, this world is not kind. Those powers and principalities and darkness, they're not out to help you. They're not out for your good. They're not out for your best. They're not out to get you to heaven. They're out to destroy you. They're out to steal your faith, to take everything you have and leave you on the wayside in destruction. You see, we've previously defined the grace of God as the goodness of God given to undeserving people. We've also said that it's unmerited favor. Webster's dictionary defines it as unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. A virtue coming from God. A state of sanctification enjoy a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine grace. Sanctification through divine. That's Webster's dictionary. A state of sanctification through divine grace. We've also said that there are different aspects of grace. One aspect is the goodness of God. One aspect is the unmerited favor. One aspect is that grace sustains us when we need it. That grace helps us when we need it. But you see, there's another aspect of grace that I don't know that we've actually hit on. It's the moving and it's the operation of the Holy Spirit in the heart and life of the believer. You see, that's an act of grace working in you, changing you, molding you, making you, giving you everything you need on a daily basis. The moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit. I believe that this particular scripture is referring to us frustrating the grace of God. That this grace, the operation of the Holy Spirit moving in our life, is frustrated when we step outside of God, when we go against God, when we replace Jesus Christ with something else, when we go the way of the law, when we go the way of flesh. You see, it requires the Holy Spirit, believer. It requires the Holy Spirit moving in you, operating in you to live this Christian life. Did you get that this morning? It requires the Holy Spirit. That's why God gave it. Not only as a comforter, but as a help, as a partner with you. Because this life is difficult. There's things in this world that are hard to overcome. This flesh, this pride of man, it's terrible in us. And it's hard to overcome. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us this morning. We have to have this Holy Spirit to live this Christian life, to live victoriously for God. So if by having the wrong object of faith, anything other than Jesus Christ, the law, your works, your flesh, yourself, whatever that thing may be, you're frustrating the grace of God. You're frustrating the operation of the Holy Spirit working and moving in your life. You're actually stopping. You're actually holding. You're actually binding the hand of God when we frustrate His grace, when we frustrate the operation and the moving of the Holy Spirit. We're saying that we don't need this ongoing work. And believer, I'm here to tell you that it's an ongoing work. It's a beautiful thing when somebody accepts salvation, when somebody truly accepts Jesus Christ into their heart and He's changed. But it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit begins to work, begins to move, begins to take away, begins to add to. It's a wonderful thing when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But you know what? It's not all about that. That's a help for you, believer. That's a help for you, Christian. It's not all about that. The Holy Spirit, you need Him on a daily basis. That still small whisper moving you and guiding you and telling you which way to go and helping you in situations that you need to go, helping you in your Christian walk. You need Him on a daily basis. When we do this, we're saying that we don't need this ongoing help. We don't need the aiding, the helping. We don't need the moving. We don't need the Holy Spirit facilitating the work of God in our life. We're saying we don't need this. We're saying that this very thing that gives us the ability to live this Christian life, we're saying we don't need it. We can find victory on our own. We can have victory. We can find redemption on our own. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, you need Jesus Christ in your life. You need the Holy Spirit working in your life to find victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Christian life is not lived by your willpower. Victory in your Christian life is not found in your willpower. It's not found in your intelligence. Did you get that? It's not found in your intelligence. And I don't know about you, but that's a good thing because I'm not too intelligent. It's a good thing that it's not found in my willpower some days because some days I don't have the willpower to get up and do it. I don't have the willpower some days to do what God wants me to do. It's not found in your strength. It's not found in your health. It's not found in your handsomeness or your beauty. You see, all those things are things of this world. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Him. And there's only one way to find Him, and that's through the cross. It's lived by faith in Jesus Christ. It's totally dependent on a new power source, not your power source. It's totally dependent on that new creation in you that's created as salvation. This morning, is the Holy Spirit working inside of you? Do you feel His power? Do you feel His direction? Do you feel His moving, His changing, His leading and guiding? Performing the work that needs to be performed in you, to change you, to mold you, to make you? Is He doing the work, or are you? Think about that this morning. Is the Holy Spirit doing the work, or are you doing the work? Have you yielded your members to Him this morning? Have you yielded your life to Jesus Christ this morning? Have you yielded your life to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit this morning? Have you yielded and said, God, I want all of you and none of me? These things in this earth are great. I'm glad you provided them for me. I'm glad that you probably got more for me. But I want nothing less than you, Lord Jesus. Have you yielded to Him this morning? To frustrate literally means to lay aside the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, that power is what equips the believer, the Christian. It provides the power source to live for God. It provides the means of faith, grace, and mercy in the believer. It provides the new power source to turn away from our works, from our flesh, from our pride, to turn away from law, to turn away from self, to turn to Jesus Christ as the only power source. That's what this does for us. That's what grace helps us do. That's what the operation and the power of the Holy Spirit helps us do, to turn to Jesus Christ. I've got to hurry. Just give me a few more minutes this morning. You see, the meeting place for God is at the cross. The meeting place for God is at the cross. And I'm not talking about the physical beams. I'm not talking about the hill that cross was set upon. I'm talking about spiritually, the meeting place for Jesus Christ, for God, is at the cross. For both sinner and saint, for believer and unbeliever, every day. Did you get that? Every day, the cross, that's where you need to meet Him at. Every day, we need to find Jesus Christ. Every day, we need to die to self and let Him do the work in us. The sinner can come the first time and God will meet them there. And He'll gloriously come into their life and change them and save them and give them a new birth and complete the salvation experience in Him. The believer can come again and again and should go to the cross daily, sometimes multiple times. Amen? Amen? Sometimes multiple times. I've got to go to the cross because you know what? I need Him. Oh, I need Him. Oh, how I need Him. Daily, sometimes, every minute. Because this life is difficult sometimes and I need Him working in my life. You see, this is where grace is dispensed, at the foot of His cross. This is where grace is dispensed, through our faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. You see, we've got to understand that the only way that the Holy Spirit works is through this prescribed order that God has given us, His Son, Jesus Christ. That this is the plan since the beginning of time of how God will work in our life, of the redemption plan, of how He will change and sanctify you. This is the plan from the beginning of time. You see, He doesn't work through my anything. You hear me this morning. You hear my voice. I had to do some work to put this together. But you know what? This isn't my anything. I couldn't do this on my own. The Holy Spirit guiding and leading me. He doesn't work through my abilities. He doesn't work through my education. He doesn't work through my schemes or my procedures. You see, sometimes we try to get Him to work that way, don't we? Come on, everybody shake your head. Sometimes we get Him to work that way. God, if I just say this prayer, I know that You'll do this. God, if I just come over here and I do this, I know that You'll do this. God, if I just pray long enough, if I just fast long enough, if I just show up for church every Sunday like Pastor Chris wants me to, I know that You'll move. Guess what? He doesn't work that way. That's not the way God works. That's the way man works. He doesn't work in man's ways. He doesn't work through anything that I produce. He doesn't work through my education, my schemes, my abilities. He doesn't work through anything that man comes up with. You see, this message, it lays waste to all other doctrines of self, doctrines of motivation, doctrines of incentive, of all the good things that we could go through the Bible and pull out. It's great. There's a lot of good things in here, isn't there? But you know what? There's some very bad things in here that we need to take account of. Mainly that we're a sinner, that we need to find Jesus Christ as our Savior. You see, if we remove those parts of penalty, those parts of death, those parts of sin, We've taken the gospel and we've started to apostatize it. He's not going to move through these doctrines again of self, of motivation, of incentive. He's not going to move through good things that we could make an idol out of. Did you hear me this morning? There's a lot of people out there making idols out of good things in this Word of God. And while they're in the Word of God, and while they're good, it's not your idol. Jesus Christ, as a believer, should be your King, and there should be no idol in your life. The cross, anything you say, anything you can say that is good, it's not going to offend anyone. When you bring something good to someone, it's not going to offend them. When you see someone you haven't seen for a while, and you say, oh, you look great. Did you lose weight? Oh, did you get a new hair color? Oh, did you get a new car? See, we like to hear good things. We don't want to hear, you're a sinner. I'm telling you, family member. I'm telling you, best friend. I'm telling you, believer, you're going the wrong way. You see, we don't want to hear that. You see, the cross in the church world, it lays waste to all these other doctrines. The cross was an offense because it went against anything and everything that man can do. That's why the cross was an offense. You see, the truth of the cross offends that which man can produce. Everything that we can produce, any work we can do, anything that we can build with ourselves, with our hands, with our minds. You see, the cross offends that. The sinner is lost without God, lost without Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But the believer who finds their self in this condition of frustrating the grace of God, of pushing away, of ignoring Jesus Christ, of what he did on, of looking to self, of looking to works, the believer that does this, you see, it has a high he or she has a high risk of losing everything. Their human characteristics. You know what I'm talking about. You've met people that were once saved, that once loved God, and then you see them. They look different, don't they? There's something on their face that's different, isn't there? There's something in their eyes. There's something in them that's different because they've turned away from God. Their families. You have a chance of losing your family. You have a chance of losing your job, losing your career, losing your relationship, and ultimately losing your soul if you choose to frustrate the grace of God. The cost is great this morning, church. The cost is great, believer, if you choose to frustrate, if you choose to go a different way. Best case scenario, the best case is that you're going to be easily overthrown, that you could be deceived by the enemy, that you could choose to go a wrong path, that you could have to pay the price for the wrongdoings that you've done, that you could lose fellowship with others, with believers, with family, that you'll lose all God has provided for you in your Christian life. You see, that's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you're going to lose your very soul. Did you get that today? Worst case scenario, you're going to lose your very soul. Best case scenario, you're going to lose everything. Church, it's important that we don't frustrate the grace of God. It's important that we come His way. It's important that the Holy Spirit be allowed to work in our lives to touch us. You have a chance of losing your very soul if you ignore, if you frustrate the grace of God. I need you to get that today. You're left defenseless if you frustrate, if you stop the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Defenseless. You see, God's protecting you. The Holy Spirit's working in you, moving in you, guiding you, moving all around you. And if you frustrate that, if you stop His effectual working in your life, you, the believer, you're left defenseless. You're left defenseless. In closing, would you please stand with me in closing? If we leave this life, what are we going to be able to take with us? If we leave this life, if we go home today, your clothes, your jewelry, your house, your land, our cars, our toys that we get, our stuff that we have, our looks, our money. When we leave this life, saved or unsaved, the only thing that we're going to take with us is our faith. That's the only thing, believer. That's the only thing, listening by CD, listening by the internet. That's the only thing that you're going to get to take with you is your faith. Unsaved or saved. With that being said, don't you think the battlefield centers around our faith and where it's placed, what it's placed in, what we put it in, and how we use it? True faith can only be nourished in the cross of Jesus Christ, can only be nourished in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can only be nourished through God's character. It's the sacrifice. It's the atonement. It's the finished work. You see, this is where true faith is actually built. This is where true faith is actually gleaned from. We can only live our lives victorious by faith and grace dispensed from the cross. The finished work of Jesus Christ. The attack of the enemy is only trying to get at one thing: your faith in Jesus Christ. Every attempt against you, against mankind, is an attempt to steal your faith, to move your faith away from Jesus Christ. Every attempt that's going on in your life, every bad thing that you may blame on the devil, everything that might happen to you on your job and your family financially, is an attempt to move your faith. Think about that for a moment. You know what I'm telling you is true this morning. Every attempt is to move your faith, to move the needle of your faith from Jesus Christ to anything else. Because if Satan can win that battle, he's won the war with you. If you would you come to the front this morning? Would you make your way to the altar of God this morning? I just want to pray as a church body. You know, church, because I believe this is important. I believe that our faith needs to be solely planted each day in Jesus Christ. I believe that our faith has got to be guarded. I believe that we cannot lose our faith. I believe that our faith has got to be solidly planted in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, we come to you today, Lord Jesus, and we're humbled by who you are, by what you've done, Lord Jesus. Lord, this morning we ask for forgiveness today, Lord Jesus, of all those things, Lord, that we've maybe let that needle of our faith lean toward, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us this morning for putting our faith in self, for putting a faith in our own righteousness, our own works, our money, our looks, our things of this world, Lord Jesus. Lord, this morning we thank you for the message that the Holy Spirit has brought, that we do not want to frustrate the grace of God. We do not want to frustrate the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit performing the work of God in our life. Lord, this morning I ask that you would touch us all, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would touch this church, that you would touch every single believer in this building today, every single person that listens to this CD, that this message would go to them directly to their heart and to their soul, Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive us this morning, God. Change us, Lord Jesus. Draw us close to you, Lord God. Move upon us today, Lord Jesus. Change us, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Again, I thank you for being with us this morning. It's been great to have you in the house of the Lord. It's such a wonderful thing to come and be together, isn't it? To come and hear the word of the Lord and what he has for us. Come back and be with us Wednesday. Come back and be with us Sunday. And I just pray that you'd go in the name of the Lord this morning.